Chlorinated solvents such as TC and carbonate are common contaminants at a lot of sites. And in situ bioremediation has become a widely used technology for remediation. Recently, the role of abiotic processes has been receiving increased attention. And some of the iron minerals, such as green rust, may abiotically degrade chlorinated solvents. And there are a few, very few studies that show substantial dechlorination by green rust, but there are also other few test studies that show no effect. So there is a need to confirm the early findings or dispute those reported results. Green rusts are basically layered double hydroxides, and they contain both ferrous and ferric ion in their structure. The type of anion, such as charge, shape, and size, defines the crystal structure, which will give a distinct X-ray diffraction pattern. As we can see here, on the upper right corner here is a model of the green rust. You have layers of ferrous hydroxide. Into layers, you have anions. Because the sulfate anion is bigger than carbonate, the spacing of sulfate green rust is bigger than that of the carbonate green rust. As you can see here, they have different XRD patterns. For pure phases, they're very easy to distinguish. But if you have a soil sample, sediment sample, it's a different story. Thermodynamically, when you have both phases at the equilibrium, the sulfate concentration to carbonate concentration ratio is 1,000. This implies that at a normal soil solution or groundwater systems, the carbonate green rust form is the dominant form of the green rust, because usually you have enough carbonate concentration in the soil solution. SCM picture of the fresh carbonate green rust shows a typical hexagonal morphology with particle size from 0.1 to 0.3 microns. In all tests, we used the synthetic carbonate green rust and sulfate green rust. We did the tests in the glove box to simulate the subsurface environment, log, oxygen, and we used TC concentrations from 2 to 10 ppm without the headspace using the 60 ml glass serum bottles. We adjusted pH using HCl and the sodium hydroxide for carbonate test. And then we shook the bottles in the dark for up to a month. In some tests, we added purposely 35 millimolar ferrous sulfate or carbon sulfate without the treatment buffer at the pH 8. And at the preset time intervals, we would centrifuge the bottles and then sample solutions inside the glove box. We measured the dissolved concentrations, and then we feed the data to a typical pseudo first order rate equation, which is simple kinetic model. And then we normalize the rate constant based on the surface area so that we can compare different materials from the data in the literature. Some results. As you can see here, for carbonate green rust, TC concentrations didn't change over time up to about 30 days. regardless of the pH. And you see flat lines. This shows there is essentially no change in the TC concentration for up to 30 days. That means there's no reduction, no transformation going on. The same thing happens to sulfate green rust system. With the treatment buffer or without it, at the pH about 8, you see basically flat lines. And these results are in contrast to the one of few reported findings in the literature. And some people have reported substantial degradation of TC in the carbonate green rust or sulfate green rust systems, and we have not seen any. However, in the presence of a little bit of copper, 0.5 millimolar copper, and a lower initial concentration of TC, we started to see slightly degradation of TC. However, when you added the treatment buffer to the system, there is essentially no much degradation going on. Those tests were done using pretty high concentrations from 5 to 10 ppm. Since the degradation is almost negligible, we decided to lower the initial concentration to about 2 ppm, which gives us a better analytical approach to measure small difference in the concentration. And for 0.5 millimolar copper at pH 8, we see substantial decrease in TC concentration. However, when we increase the copper concentration to higher values, we didn't see as much degradation as compared to the control without copper. So these results indicate that copper 2 plus affects the TC degradation, and the copper concentration shows a kind of optimal level at a very low levels, 0.5 millimolar. And we analyzed the degradation products of TC. We have detected traces amounts of cis DC, trans DC, and women DC. And we also saw ethene and ethane. We analyzed also the solid phases of green rust before and after degradation. At a pH about 6.7, 10 millimolar copper 2, we see almost complete degradation of sulfate green rust. And these peakers disappeared. And instead, we see elemental copper in the system. However, at a lower pH, and because we didn't use the buffer in this test, we see different products. Instead of elemental copper, we see cuprite and another copper-containing solid phase. So what are the possible degradation pathways? In this study, we didn't use PC. However, the possible pathways should be similar. We started with the TCE, and we have 19 possible pathways in this test, so it's very difficult to be sure, you know, which pathway is predominant. we could have beta elimination, hydrogenolysis, alpha elimination, and hydrogenation. Because acetylene is very difficult to be determined in the system, it's difficult to analyze for it. And we haven't detected much acetylene in the system, so probably these pathways are predominant in our test. Carbon tetrachloride tends to be a much easier compound to be degraded by sulfur green rust. And the degradation is affected by the pH. At the lower pH, lower than 5, you pretty much don't have any degradation at all. As you increase the pH to, you know, near neutral, or very alkaline, pH 11, you see dramatic increase in the degradation rate. Also, the addition of copper ions to the system also dramatically increased the degradation. Without the copper, you see some degradation, much better than the TC. And with added copper at different levels, 0.5, 1, 2, 5, 10, as you increase the copper concentration, you basically see increased degradation over time. And some of the degradation products include the chloroform, methylene chloride, and methane and ethylene. And we have yet to develop a detailed mechanism for carbon tet degradation by the green rust, especially in the presence of copper ions. We think copper ions serve as a catalyst in these systems, especially in the TC system, because more copper didn't, you know, result in increased degradation. So copper probably serves as a catalyst in these systems. And this table summarizes the surface area normalized pseudo first order rate constants for TC by green rust. And for the carbonate green rust, we haven't seen any reaction. And in the treatment buffer system, we don't see any degradation. At pH 7.9, with a little bit of copper, we see some degradation. With the trismer buffer, however, we don't see the any degradation. And the value we got from this test, it's almost the same magnitude as that reported in the literature for the sulfur green rust. But that value was for the green rust without any copper. And similarly, as we increase the pH, we see high degradation rates for the carbon tet. In summary, TC was not degraded by carbonate green rust and sulfur green rust. TC was substantially degraded by sulfur green rust with added copper at 0.5 millimolar. Higher copper concentrations were not effective. Carbon tet degradation rates for sulfate green rust generally increased with the increase in pH, and carbon tet degradation was generally increased with the increase in copper 2 concentrations. Further tests are necessary to elucidate detailed mechanisms of dechlorination by green rust. Thank you.